Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. And men, as always, I like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. Now, whether you've been a longtime subscriber or you're brand new to this thing, welcome. I'm thankful that you're here. When you get the opportunity, when you're done listening to this podcast, of course, visit some of the links in the show notes. One of them would be our website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of previous episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store. Sign up for the framework field notes, which goes out every week, focusing in on one aspect of our framework for biblical manhood. There's a whole bunch more in those links. But the last one there is going to be Loader Road Goods, who is the sponsor of the Wednesday A Quiet Life podcast. Now, I spent a little time sitting outside before I came in to do this, and I thought, the seasons are changing. When seasons change, needs change. And perhaps there's something you need to get when you think about Easter weekend, which would be Sunday, March 31st, or, you know, graduation or some gift coming up here in the next couple months. Consider Loader Road Goods. You put in the discount code, A Quiet Life, you'll save 15% off of your order when you check out. Men, it's time for today's podcast conversation.
Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day. A thought that I have had over and over the last handful of weeks is what God can do in one day. He never wastes any of his days. If this is the day that he has made, this idea that God has fashioned together this particular day, the sun comes up, sun goes down. This day, he's made it. He's put together everything that we will experience. He doesn't waste it. He doesn't waste one single day. There's not one day where he says, "Well, I'm just going to phone it in today." Not at all. His mercies are brand new with the tags on them every single day. Now, I did a little Google search. It didn't take long. I did a Google search to find out how many days it has been since I have been born. It has been, as of today, 17,777 days since I've been born. 17,000 plus days, almost 18,000. What God can do in one day is far greater than anything I can attempt to accomplish in 18,000 days. When I consider scripture, when I consider what I see in the Bible, how often we see the phrase one day something happened, one day this person did this, one day these people experienced this, one day God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. One day, a raindrop fell on Noah and his family. One day, in the midst of their commiserating, God shows up and meets with Job and his friends. One day, Joseph gets the call that he is brought out of prison. He's going to be in Pharaoh's service. One day, there's manna on the ground, and they say, "What is this?" You know, one day, Nehemiah got the news about Jerusalem, and it wrecked him. And he said, "I don't know what it is, but I'm going to do something about this." One day, Jonah had some shade from a flower. Now the next day, it was gone. One day, the tomb was empty. One day, there's someone in there, Jesus. The next day, nobody. One day, Peter stands up and he preaches, and 3,000 plus people give their lives to Christ. One day, there was the first church plant in Jerusalem. One day, a guy named Saul started going by the name Paul and was the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. You have one days too. It might have been one day you went back to school. One day you applied for a job. One day you bought a house. One day you asked her out. One day you found out your wife was pregnant. We have these one days, these days on our calendar that just kind of stand out to us. There's the other days, but then there's those one days. Now, whether this is those other days for you or one of those one days, it's a one day for somebody else somewhere. God is not wasting this day today without bringing somebody to the knowledge and understanding of who He is and surrendering their life to Christ. That may be you. Perhaps today is your day of salvation. But for a lot of you, there was a day where you heard the good news of Jesus for the first time, or at least the first time that it really made sense to you, and you said, if that is available to me, I want it. One day you surrender to the Lord. You're buried with Christ. You were raised to walk in a brand new life. The old is gone, the new has come. The life you now live in the flesh, you live for Jesus. But one day you're going to encounter somebody who is going to need to know that exact same message. Now, one of the challenges is, and you don't know what's going on in their life. People we encounter day in, day out, man, we do not know what is going on in their life. But I do believe this. I believe there is a whole lot more going on than typically I am aware of, or at least I recognize. There's an interesting portion of Scripture, and I don't have time to get way into this. I kind of wish I did, and maybe there's a different place for this. Maybe we'll talk about the men's retreat. I don't know. But 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a guy named Elisha, and he has a servant with him. And this servant looks up and says, Elisha, we are in big trouble. You see, the Syrians have surrounded them, and this looks bad. They look like a strong military force that there is no way servant and Elisha have any business competing against them. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, he went out. Behold, an army with horses and chariots. I mean, that's as good as it gets back then. If you're going to flex with your military power, with horses and chariots was all around the city. The servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha tells him, forgive me, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He says, let me take count. One, two. No, that doesn't seem to be the case, Elisha. Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened his eyes, the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. One day he looks up and says, oh, we're in trouble. Elisha says, not so fast. I know what you're thinking, but the Lord is working for us. You see, when you got God on your side, you have the advantage. It doesn't matter the scenario, you have the advantage. Elisha's prayer was, listen, Lord, please open his eyes that he could see. He didn't pray, God, change the situation. What he prayed was, God, help the servant and I understand the reality of the situation. That when I look around, and when the servant looks around, he says, we are greatly outnumbered. But when you give us spiritual eyes, we see a whole different scenario. We see God all around us. We see his power on display. Now, the Syrians, maybe they weren't aware of that. And the servant wasn't either. We need to understand, when a person is spiritually blind, we can't open their eyes. If I'm talking to someone and they're spiritually blind, I mean, I can use words and I can use scripture and I can, you know, point them back to the power of God and the truth of God and the promises of God, but only God does the job of spiritually opening their eyes. That belongs to Him alone. Now, we have a responsibility, but He does the actual opening. So what Elisha says is, Lord, please open his eyes that he could see. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. I think sometimes we struggle with this idea. We're not sure how to pray against our enemies. You know, Jesus said, love them and pray for those who persecute you. Yeah, you pray for them. I pray they know Jesus. But there's people who claim to know Jesus and they're still miserable. So I claim, God, give them good community. Give them people around them to encourage them, build them up, sharpen them, convict them, show them what narrow road living looks like. Because see, most of the people who claim to know Jesus who are still miserable, they don't have community. They avoid community. because they got just enough. They got just that's all I need right there. I got just enough to make myself convinced I know Christ, but not living for Christ, not loving the church, not serving the church, not making disciples. They're miserable. F.B. Meyer says, if our eyes were opened, we would see the angel host as an encircling fence of fire. But whether we see them or not, they are certainly there. I'll talk about this in a different episode. It's like the authority of Jesus. Whether you recognize Jesus' authority or not doesn't change the fact that he has authority. Whether it looks like his authority is on display or not, that doesn't change the fact that his authority is on display. Whether we acknowledge him as such doesn't matter. So when you have a tension with a person and you're trying to live under the authority of Scripture and they're not, yeah, there's going to be a great divide. There's a bridge there you simply just can't cross. But when you're both living under the authority of Scripture, it changes the whole conversation. That doesn't mean you hug, high five, and handshake when it's over. But what it means is at least we can agree. 2 Kings chapter 6, this is what he said. Right? So we go back to that. When you live under the authority of Scripture. But again, a lot of people claim that, but they don't necessarily do that. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Does that sound like how you got ready this morning? Putting on the whole armor of God today. That one day, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This one day that could be a game changer, a legacy changer for you. This day, whatever day you're listening to or watching this episode, what God is speaking to you right now could change not only your life, but the lives of other people. If you surrender to Him, if you live in obedience to Him, if you live under the authority of Scripture. If you don't, well, today will be like a lot of other days. Just one of many. Just one of the 17,700 plus, however many days you got. But what God will do in one day, far more than anything you and I can accomplish if we combined our days together. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on that whole armor of God. Again, does that sound like how you got ready today? Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Man, that guy drives me nuts. I can't stand him. He's just that so-and-so. Look at when elections happen. People you don't even know running for an office that you'll never hold, causing you division amongst people you do know who do sit at your table. And you don't even know these guys. And to be honest, they really don't care about you. It looks like flesh and blood wrestling match. It's not. It's something bigger than that. But we wrestle against rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Listen, when you're having tension with a person, it might help you to pause long enough to say, this person is created in the image of God. They are created in God's image. If they're a Christian, well, this is a brother in Christ. This is a sister in Christ. How am I supposed to treat them? And if you're not sure and you're willing to live under the authority of Scripture, turn to the Bible and find out. Read the book of Ephesians. I just read 6. That's at the end. Read the whole book. That'll give you an idea. Read some of Paul's letters to the churches and say, how am I supposed to treat brothers and sisters in Christ even when I don't agree with them? Even when their political view is radically different than mine, or their view of Christ is different than mine, or the view of the church is different than mine. How am I supposed to treat them? With love, respect, and again, pray that your eyes will be open. Pray that their eyes will be open. I will say, I believe there's a lot more going on than you and I are considering most days. I've said before, I'm not a big spiritual warfare guy. I think sometimes we're trudging into darkness where we have no business being there. I think some guys are going storming Norman and they're trying to run into something and say, hey, I need to go and we need to. I mean, don't be going into places you have no business being. God called you to walk in the light, called you to be the light, called you to be salt. There's a lot of positive things we're supposed to be doing instead of going diving into darkness. However, we should at least acknowledge that the enemy of our soul will do whatever he can to distract, divide, destroy, steal, kill. But we also know that Jesus is in the business of interceding on our behalf right now. So if he's in a constant state of interceding for us, making a way for us to have a relationship with God the Father, wouldn't it stand to reason that Satan would be in a constant state of trying to frustrate, defeat? How quickly do you get frustrated? How quickly do you feel defeated? There's times that, man, I've taught a lesson or I've done something at church or I left a meeting or whatever and thought, boy, that went about as good as it can go. And next thing you know, out of nowhere. Something comes your way. A conversation comes your way. It happened yesterday. Something comes my way. And it really just derailed me for the rest of the day. I'm like, well, what is that? That's not of God. That's not me living in response to the atoning sacrifice of Christ. That's me living defeated. That's nothing good of that. That's why you got to have community. Again, I think there's a lot more going on than we acknowledge. But again, if we spend more time telling God things, we have less energy to tell other people other things. So when you feel that way, talk to him. Call time out. Remove yourself from the situation. Whatever you need to do and get a reset. I shared this morning with the guys in Tribe in my challenge video that this morning, man, I didn't have it. I did not have it. I was struggling, just tired, mentally tired, physically tired, spiritually tired. I didn't have it. And I found myself sleeping on the couch for a little bit after my kids went off to school. This is my day off, so I do a lot of this stuff. I thought, I'm gonna give you a little bit of time, and then we're going to get back at it. I got back at it. I got up, got ready, got some food. We're doing it. Why? Because serving the Lord is good for us. Bragging on Jesus is good for us. But you gotta believe in it. You gotta believe in the power of Scripture. You gotta live under the authority of Scripture. You gotta believe that God can do something in one day that you could never do. I gotta believe. Whoever is gonna listen to this, and maybe there's something in your life, and if it says you're one day, man, send me an email. Let me know. I want to celebrate with you. Why don't you consider this? When you hear like a tornado warning, what's the first thing you do? After we Google what the difference is between a watch and a warning, we usually kind of, I don't know, look out our window. I don't know where you're from, but where I'm from in the Midwest, people often go outside. They want to see it. They want to feel the air change. They want to see cows flying by or whatever's going on. Like, they want to see it. You look out the window. You check out the sky. Green. Okay, not good. Trees bending over. All right. Ooh, you see that stop sign? It's folding three different ways. And you go, oh, that's bad. And then you should probably take shelter. But imagine if there's a tornado warning going on. And you say, as long as I don't look out my window, it's not a big deal. I would say that's a bad way to go. You can do that. You can do that. But I will never change what's going on outside your window. And we can live that way. We can live that way and say, as long as I don't worry about other people, as long as I don't work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. That might work for a minute. That might work for 17,000 days. But then there will be that one day. There will be that one day where God said, that's it, no more. Your time on this earth is up. And then you say, maybe I should have looked out the window. Maybe that was a cause for concern. 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 9 says, don't overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. That's a lot more than 17,000 days. And 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. Some count slowness, but is patient toward you. I love that Peter writes patient toward you because it's the one thing that we all struggle with. We all struggle with patience to a degree. He's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. So for that guy at work that says, I don't know how you believe in a God who just sends people to hell. Well, take a peek at 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9. Guy, he's trying to be patient towards you. That's not what he's trying to do. He's giving you an opportunity to respond to him because he knows better about your life than you do. Even though you don't like to think that, he does. He knows better for your life than you do. Now, for some, they'll say, whew, I made it. He was patient towards me, not wishing any should perish. Made it. Good luck with you guys. I secured my ticket. That's not how that works, man. Your coworker doesn't know this. Your assistant coach has no clue about Jesus. Your boss is oblivious to the hope that you have. You have something that they need. Why on earth would you withhold it? If you have Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your salvation, if you have a hope beyond the grave, do you realize how many people you will encounter today who don't? How many people cannot truthfully and with confidence reconcile what happens to me once I take that last breath? They have an idea or something they might want to believe in, no assurance. If you have that assurance, if you have that confidence, why would we withhold that? Why would we sit on it? Why would we say, well, as long as I don't look out my window, it's not a big deal. I want to close with this. John chapter 6, Jesus had just finished. He had fed the 5,000, and then he walked on water. Two stories from the Bible that most people are fairly aware of. The crowd finds him. They say, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Like, "It's breakfast time. We're hungry." Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." He's like, "I know why you're here. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." Has God set his seal upon you? If he has, then labor for something far greater than what are we going to have for lunch? Labor for something far greater than are we going to go to church this weekend or not? Do I get involved in that ministry or not? Do I join that men's group or not? Be kingdom-minded. One day, what God can do in one day in your life, even if you're saved, I still have one days. I still have days along the way that I say, on that day, the right things began to change. On that day, conversations were different. On that day, a spiritual baton was passed. On that day, I saw the hope of Jesus in someone else. I still have those days. And what I'm trying to do and what I'm striving towards to be more obedient to the Lord and be more on mission for Jesus is not to have so many days that I'm just trying to get through, that I'm just trying to meander and just kind of wander my way and just leave me alone. Psalm 84:10, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Labor for the kingdom. It is a blessing to labor for the kingdom. I said this recently, I'm going to say it again. I feel like it kind of popped in my head. I feel like I need to say it. I no longer go camping, hiking, to the beach, to the mountains, into the marketplace as a Christian. I no longer do that. I no longer go there hoping that I can, you know, just keep my Christianness and not commit sins and not see things I shouldn't see or not be a part of certain things I shouldn't be a part of or worry about, you know, is somebody going to say this to me or do that or whatever. I don't do that no more. Now I go there as a man on mission. I go there now as, God, what do you want to do in this situation? God, who do you want to put in my path? God, what aisle do you want to send me down? What direction do you want me to go? What store do you want me to walk into? What booth do you want me to sit into? That I'm going to trust that when I'm there, when I'm walking down that trail, or I go to this place, or I sit in that seat, perhaps today is the day that you're going to send somebody my way that I can encourage in some way. Sometimes it starts as simple as just trying to have a brief conversation, just a little bit of encouragement. Sometimes there's an opportunity to pray for somebody. Sometimes there's an opportunity to pray with somebody. I had that recently at a Chick-fil-A. It all depends. But here's what I know. I'm going to live on mission for the Lord. I'm not going to try to just get through it, keep my head down, leave me alone. I can't do that no more. I did that enough. I did that for about 17,000 days plus. I'm not living like that no more. That's not what I surrendered to. My walk with Christ has to mean more than that. Told you before, got that journal I carry with me. Every time there's an opportunity, there was another one this morning, just through text message. Found out something, someone I just saw yesterday, thing they need prayer for. You got it. I'm writing it down, mark it down, and I put dates next to every time I pray for those people, those situations. One day, what God can do in one day is far greater than what we could ever accomplish in however many days He gives us on this planet. Amen. And thanks for listening. Thank you for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.